Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the speaking during this time. The Lord really spoke to me many times throughout this time that we've had together. And I think in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is really reminding me how much He wants to stir us up today into a pure mind and how we need to be those who are really waiting for His coming and looking for, hastening His coming. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1-7. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by ways of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. In this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that existed perished, being flooded with water. For the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Amen. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Yeah, as I was reading through this epistle in 2 Peter chapter 3, I started to read chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, thinking it was just a very short section. But the Lord really spoke to me how much He really desires to speak to us today. It says in here first, He's writing this, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, right? And, you know, as I was considering this word, this speaking regarding this pure mind really stood out to me, right? We need to have this pure mind today to really hear the word of the Lord, right? Untainted by the world, right? We need to hear and be mindful, and because it's not just, as was spoken, a book, a writing that's in the word, but it's a living person that we need to go to, right? A living person that is well beyond living in us that we need to hear very clearly, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord, you know, even in all the offerings yesterday, there was so many times when the Lord was speaking very directly to everyone, right? Teaching them in this or that situation, which way they should go. Right? It's not just a commandment that was written in the word, but it was something which, you know, sprung out in life and gave people a direction and an understanding of what to do, right? So we need this effective operating of the word, right? And in order to hear it, we need to have this pure mind, right? It's very difficult, you know, if we have a broken relationship to have any sort of conversation, right? You know, Sarah and Jasmine were very honest about some of the tribulations that they went through in the last few days, right? And it's difficult, right, when there's conflict. When there's a broken relationship, it's difficult to even talk, you know, in a nice way, right? But how much more with our Heavenly Father, right? When we are sinful or we are distracted or we are consumed with the world, right? It's very difficult for us to hear the word, right? To hear the Lord. And we need this pure mind to hear Him, right? As really strengthened by some of the fellowship yesterday, right? Peter himself, right? He was on a peak. He was so excited. He was so eager. And then the next moment, right, it's a roller coaster. He was, you know, get behind me, Satan, right? There's so many times up and down, right? But he, each time, you know, as he was recovered in his relationship with the Lord, right, he was able to hear the word very directly and clearly, right? We also need to have such a relationship with the Lord, right? Even to hear rebuke, right? It's, we don't want to just hear the good things, but to have a relationship with the Lord that even when we are struggling and we are in sin, we can hear the Lord rebuking us, right? So may the Lord give us such a pure mind to hear him today, right? Amen. Yeah. Clearly, you know, as was shared in the previous meeting, we live in a world that's very difficult to do this because there is so much pressure and so much problems with what where the world is today. Right? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, right? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. James, can you read this nice and loud for us? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult to be pure in this world today because the condition of the world is very impure, right? We're like a dot of white paint surrounding a sea of black paint, right? There's a lot of evil in this world, and there are many who call the things which are evil good, and the things which are good evil, right? And so if we're not careful, if we are those who are not different from this world, right, it's very difficult for us to remain pure and for the Lord, right? Because Satan is not slowing down, right? It writes that Satan is walking about like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour, right? And so in that environment, right, where there are so many pressures, right, we have two choices, right? We can be like Lot, as it writes in the previous chapter, as John shared, right? As I read. 2 Peter chapter 2, right, as we read. We could be like Lot, right? The righteous man dwelling among them, they tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds, right? We could be like this, living this type of life, or we can just conform and do according to what the world says, right? There's one which is easier today, for sure, right? And that is to conform, right? So we need to be those who do not conform to this world, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Emmanuel, can you read it for us nice and loud? Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
And do not be conformed to this world, right. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Yeah. So may the Lord help us not to be conformed to this world, right? Remaining pure for what he speaks and what he wants, right?
Yeah.
But in doing so, right, we will be disliked by the world, right? John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. Sophia, can you read that? John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We will make, unfortunately, not too many friends in this world. Right? The world will hate us, right? Yeah. But that is the price if we want to remain pure, right? If we want to have a pure mind, it requires believing in the things which the world hates, right? It requires believing things that are different from this world, right? So each time, you know, that we come to the Lord and we want to hear him, right? We should say, Lord, cleanse me, right? It's very difficult, you know, as was shared, right? Monday through Friday, hearing the dirt from this world, right? Hearing the noise, hearing the sinful things, and then hearing a good word, right? Maybe on the weekends, hopefully more often, right? We need to be those which are coming to him over and over and being cleansed, right? Praise the Lord, right? He desires to purify us, right? Yeah. Psalm 51, 7. Nathan, can you read that for us? Psalm 51, verse 7. Yeah.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Amen.
And I will be whiter than snow.
Amen. Right. So the Lord desires, right, to really cleanse us and wash us by the blood of Jesus, right? That we would be whiter than snow, right? Yeah. Maybe in the past we conformed with this or that. Maybe we accepted certain things that we should not. But may the Lord really purify us, right? Cleanse us. He's very willing to do it, right? Amen. We don't have to remain as we are going with what the world is doing, but we can continually ask him, Lord, purify me, cleanse me, wash me, right? Yeah, amen.
Amen.
So now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, we need this pure mind, right? That you may be mindful, verse 2, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, right? Yeah. So really speaks to the previous chapter, right? Today, there are many people who have who have shown so many false teachings, so many lies, and so many things that are against the word, right? But we today as his people should be those who know what the Lord has spoken, right? We shouldn't be deaf, right? We should be those who really want to hear the Lord and ask him. Right? You know, sometimes, especially when I was younger, I would, you know, there are many Christians who think, you know, reading Revelation, Daniel, understanding the prophecies, oh, this is really too hard. You know, don't bother. It just confuses you, right? There are many interpretations, right? There's many ways you could look at it. Some people think it's this way. Some people think it's that way, right? Maybe it is or maybe it isn't, right? And so many people, because of such confusion, right, they discourage people from really understanding what was spoken by the prophets, right? But this is directly against God's word, right? We need to be those who ask of the Father, what does he mean? What is he speaking to us, right? We shouldn't be those who are shying away or running away from it, but we should ask the Father that we would know, right?
Amen.
It's a prophetic word which is confirmed in us, as was spoken before, mm-hmm. right? We want to have this prophetic word spoken and not just assume or think it's too hard for us or too difficult for us to understand, right? But he has given us this word that we may know as his people. Right? It's our right, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if my kids ask me something, even if I don't answer right away, right? Even if I don't answer right away, when I get to it, I will answer them, right? And I will tell them, you know, what is the truth, what is, you know, what they want to know, right? And it's not a problem, right? Sometimes I don't always give them the answer that they can hear at the moment if it's something difficult to speak of, right? But the Lord, our God, is also like this, right? He desires for us to know. He wants to speak it to us, right? And unlike the false teachers, which are telling us not to dive into it, to avoid all the confusion, right? We should be those who ask the Lord liberally, like it says in James, right? The Father, when we ask the Lord, right, he gives to us liberally, right? And desires to give us his understanding, right? Yeah.
Amen.
And so we need to know what was spoken, right? And not just for those things that are positive in the word, but we want to hear the judgment also, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we're reading, right, that today there are many evil things in this world, right? And we don't want to be those who just read the word only for salvation or only for the good things or be like a church only dedicated to first salvation, right? Right. But we want to be his people that really understand that there is also judgment. Right? That we want to love what the Lord loves and hate what the Lord hates. Right? Aaron, can you read Romans chapter 12, verse 9? Romans chapter 12, verse 9.
Let none be without hypocrisy, abhorring what is evil, and what is good.
Right. Let love be without hypocrisy, right? Yeah. You know, a love without hypocrisy means, right, it's not just a fake love or a false love that's one-sided for your own needs, right? You know? If I love Christine, but I also love having a very messy house, then it's not good, right? Because my love of what I want conflicts very much with my love for Christine, right? So here too, right? If we love what the Father loves, right, we also need to hate what the Lord hates, right? Because if we don't care about what the Lord wants, right, then it's very hypocritical, right? As it says here, abhor what is evil, right? It's a very strong word, right? The other day, a while ago, I was getting into an argument with some fellowship or some conversation I was having with someone. And, you know, there was a reaction to something that was seen, and immediately was, well, you know, you just should just love that person more because of this, you know, worldly thing. And I said, no, we should abhor what is evil, right? We shouldn't be so tolerant, right, that we say everything is fine, everything is good, right? But we should be those that if we love the Lord, we also need to have some hatred, some abhorrence for what is evil, right? Yeah. I think, you know, throughout the years, as we've seen society kind of go downhill slowly and faster recently, right? You see all these things that are there, and you know, it's very easy to say, "Well, it's just a little bit like this. You know, let's be tolerant about it. Let's be nice about it. There's no need to argue, right?" But with the Lord, right? If He is perfect and if He is holy, we should have a reaction in us, right? And say, you know, that's evil. It's really evil, right? It should make us uncomfortable a little bit, right? We should have this reaction, you know, I don't like that, right? The Lord doesn't like that, right? So this love is not just a love like many Christians say today, like just love everybody, just like everything, just should be all happy, right? But we should also be those who have a love that is without hypocrisy, right? Amen. Abhorring what is evil, right? Because ultimately God is not only just love in a positive way, but because he loves, he wants to also have judgment, right? He doesn't want to let the evil continue and run away, right? Yeah. So knowing what was spoken by the prophets, right? We need to hear not just what is pleasing to our ears, but we need to hear the Lord fully, right? Amen. What is displeasing to him, right? What he doesn't like, right? We better know, yeah. So let's go on to verse 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. It says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yeah. This is the scoffers, right? This is the opposite of the hymn we just sang, right? Lord, we love thy coming soon, right? We want to be those who are looking forward to it, right? But in the last days, right, which I guess 39% of Christians agree, we are there, right? Right, there are going to be many scoffers, right? At least 61%, right? At least, yeah. Right? There are many scoffers, right, that will come in the last days, right? And scoffing, right, I had to really think about what that word meant. It's kind of making light of it, like it's a funny thing, like, ah, you're just, there's no way he's coming back. That seems silly, right? Why would he do that? There's no need, right? Scoffing, right? Mocking. Laughing about how silly it is that the Lord would ever come back, right? And many Christians today, you know, they're stuck in this, right? And so as it writes here in 2 Peter chapter 3, right, they're stuck in this scoffing, and as a result, they walk according to their own lusts, right? You know, doing what they want to do, right? Satisfied with their own personal progress, right? And we have to be careful today as God's people that we don't run into the same problem, right, today. That if we desire the Lord to come, we don't just, you know, walk according to our own lusts, right? You know, we may think to ourselves, oh, we've made a lot of good progress. Yeah, you know, next year I should get a promotion, or this time my kids finally did this achievement in school or that achievement, right? We have these activities. We've made it to the height of this. We've made it to the height of that, right? And that's walking according to our own lusts, right? Just being satisfied with what is in this world and thinking it's good enough, right? Thinking it actually goes somewhere, right? To believe and to see that the Lord is coming, it really means that we have to accept that there's a futility to our gains in this world, right? That we may achieve something, but it'll go away, right? Actually, I was very encouraged, you know, as John was sharing during dinner yesterday about his green card, right? And he said his conclusion to it, thinking about it recently, was, well, the green card might come in a year and a half, and maybe then I'll get it, and then it'll be not needed anymore, right? 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 Yeah. We need to all have such an attitude with these things, right? It's not that Sean should stop looking for his green card, right? Yeah. But we need to see there's a futility to it all, right? We're like, it's like we're playing at this point a board game that we know we'll put away the next moment, but we still have such a desire to do so well, right? Right? And in this world today, right, it's coming to a close, right? It is coming to an end, right? And if we only have a lust after these things which are on this earth, right, we will be very disappointed in the end, right? It will be taken away, and we will be stuck in a very dark time on this earth, right? But we want to be those who put away, right, put away these lusts from our mind. Not that we do not continue to live in this world, but we should not be carried away walking according to the lusts of what we want to do, right? I was thinking about how, you know, the last few years, of course, COVID was very interesting, right? And there was a lot of different things that were taken away from people, or they lost access to this, or they weren't able to do this or that, right? And the phrase that I was thinking about in light of chapter 3 was going back to normal. Right? It's so odd to me, right? Because people had so many things taken away, I think COVID gave the return to normalcy, right? It gave people such a low expectation, right? A low bar, right? They're like, they're so happy just to be among people one more time, or to do, you know, the sports activity they couldn't do before, right? And suddenly there's such a fulfillment and satisfaction that I can once again do this or that, right? Yeah. And that's the trap that there is in the world, right? To think that, you know, if only you could be restored this one thing, then you'll be fully satisfied, right? But we have to see, right, that that all these things, right, being able to go in a restaurant and eat, right, it's not enough. It shouldn't be enough to make us be fully satisfied. But we should see that all things are passing away, right? Yeah. And in fact, as all these things have rapidly changed around us, right, right, there's all these people, that these scoffers that are going around walking according to their own lusts and saying, oh, where is the promise of his coming, right? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It just goes on and on, right? But we should see from the last few years, right, if the Lord has opened our eyes, that things are not going back to normal, right? Yeah. Things, in fact, are declining, right, more and more. And that is according to his will and his word, right? that it would be ripe for judgment, right? Right. Nothing that is in this world today, especially as it had gone through the last few years, will go back to some kind of perfection of 2015, right? It's not happening, but the world will continue to decline before he comes back, right? And so may we not be so satisfied, right? May we not think like, well, it will just continue as it is year to year, right? But may we say, Lord, you see the decline, you see it, you see the evil, right? Please come back and judge it, right? Yeah. Take care of it, deal with it, right?
Right.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to 27. Isaiah, can you read that for us? It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to 27. Right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to 27.
That you did not with Israel speak, for if they did not escape to refuse him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven.
The voice that shook the earth, and now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, that things that cannot be shaken may remain.
So if the Lord has shaken the last few years, right, we need to come out even more firm in the Lord, right? Even more firm for his purpose, right? We don't want to be like those people who, there was an earthquake that has damaged their house so severely that they cannot live in it, but they just put a tarp on it and say, it's okay, let's continue living here, right? This is somehow our attitude in this world, right? We think we can fix it. We can make our life better. We can have more satisfaction. We can get things back. But we should say, Lord, if you're shaking, we also want to be those who listen and heard it. And may the Lord remove those things that are being shaken, right? That we'd only get the things that would remain. Yeah. Right. Let's not be just satisfied with this world, right? And let's read Matthew 24, 37 to 39. Joy, can you read that? Matthew 24, 37 to 39. Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39.
For as the lightning comes from the east and rushes to the west, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of the flood,
yeah, amen. Yeah. In the days before the Lord comes back, right, everything continues as they are, right? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, right? As it says later, in a field, one will be in a field, one will be taken, one will be left, one grinding at a mill, the other taken away, right? So today, not that we would avoid doing any of these things, right? But the Lord today really needs to remind us, right? That he is coming quickly and we don't want to be caught off guard, right? We don't want to be surprised that suddenly the flood would come and take us all away, right? Yeah. But we want to be those who are looking for the Lord's return, right? Yeah. Yeah, there is judgment coming and it will come, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Let me read this again. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Right. Yeah. When I first read verse 5 earlier in the month, I was reading it over and over because it was a very strange phrase here. It says willfully forget, right?
And it's a very odd thing. It's like, you know, don't think about what you had for breakfast this morning, right? It's like if you try to forget the thing you did, it's a very strange phrase because, you know, it's impossible, right? It's you can't purposely forget about something, right?
Try to remember.
Yeah. You can try to remember, but you can't try to forget. So it's a very strange phrase here, but it speaks to, right, our condition, right? Yeah. We know better, right? We know something. We know what we had for breakfast, right? But we want to ignore it, right? And this is the problem. Yeah. We're ignoring it. Yeah. They don't want to think about it. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I still have my kids go to school. I still have my job, and looks like I'm on track for promotion. You know, have all these good things. I don't need to remember, right? I don't need to remember that the Lord is coming soon, right? Yeah, it's a willful forgetfulness, right? Right. It's a false permanence that they have in their heart, right? That they don't want to think about the Lord's coming, right? Right. But here in these verses, right, it's very clear that it's only preserved now by the same word. It's being preserved. It's being held back, right? It's not so secure, right? It's a dam that is ready to burst, right? It is the Lord, as he prepares all these signs that are becoming clearer and clearer, right? He should be waking us up more and more, right? And we can't just willfully look away. We should say, oh, Lord, that's what you're really doing. Wow, you know, it's coming, right? There needs to be this desire in us. We cannot willfully forget, right? We don't want to be, you know, but seeing, right, as it says here, that it is reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, right? So we need to see that the Lord needs to judge it, right? Yeah. We shouldn't be so tolerant of the evil, right? Just as Lot in his day, right, he was oppressed by all those around him, right? We need to see too that there will be that there's going to be a lot of evil that keeps on coming in, right? Even into many Christians today, in many churches, right? That accepting of evil, they even invite evil into his house, right? And we today should see, right, that judgment first begins in the house of the Lord, right? So may the Lord give us this sense, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing that, you know, because he's coming quickly, we don't want to just look away, forget, right? Yeah. So may the Lord make us more and more sober before he comes back. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Not being like the scoffers, but being like those who see clearly, right?
Yeah.
And don't put it out of our minds, right? Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
In chapter 3, in verse 4, 3 and 4, just my own experiences, it says in verse 4, people like to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And since we've been talking more about the Lord's return in the past few years, I also hear more people say, we've been saying for many years that the Lord is coming back and he never came. So things will just continue as they were. We've heard the Lord is coming back for 30 years, 40 years, or whatever. We always hear the same thing, but he's still not here. And sometimes when we read the word, and we read, for example, about scoffers, we're thinking about other people. But many times the scoffers could even be ourselves. And the reason why it says in verse 3, it says, because these people, which could be ourselves, want to continue to walk according to our own lusts. There's a part of us that doesn't want the Lord to come back because we want to continue to do what we want to do. And that's why we like to say, well, We've said so many years he's coming back, he's not back. So why is it that we say that? It's because we want to continue doing what we like to do. We're not ready for him to come back, and we may not even want him to come back. Right? So it shows that this is many times a problem that we have.
Yeah.
You know, that we tend to fall into that trap and say, oh, you know, yes, he's just going to keep delaying and delaying. It's not going to happen. And this is the danger. Then the Lord will come back as a thief in the night for us, because we think, oh, it's not going to be soon. So it's a warning to ourselves also, you know, that we don't fall into this.
Yeah, that's right. And on the other hand, it says, they say is all things continue as they were.
Yeah.
But you can see that's not all things, it's not true that continue as they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All things are going down the drain.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are changing so fast and so quickly.
Yes.
So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you.